Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, two professors of political science on the program, from UNR, Eric Herzig, and from TMCC, Fred Locke. And it's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. 40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great show lined up for you today. Eric Herzig is here. He's professor of political science, actually heads up the political science department at UNR. Fred Locken is political science professor at Truckee Meadows Community College. And we're taping this on the last day of the session, so we still have, what, about 14 hours left, 15 if you count daylight savings time, where things could go wrong. So we'll start the conversation based on that. This session started off so strangely with what happened to the Senate Majority Leader, and a lot of strange things happened along the way. But as you look at it, what was the thing that most surprised you about this session?
A couple of things. One is that how it started, and they had all these big plans and bills, and many of them either came crashing down, death penalty, or got just kept getting whittled down, the crime reform bill. And I think what I noticed is that you had a lot of new people who didn't know how to deal with the 120-day limit.
Right.
And that's a major item that people forget. The other on a specific is, I was amazed that collective bargaining went through. It's done now rather than waiting till the last minute. And yet some other items were deemed too controversial, death penalty. Oh, but we're okay with collective bargaining. I thought that was kind of strange.
Fred?
Yeah, I tend to agree. Clearly the impacts of term limits are now affecting this. Plus so many newbies in the building and a brand new governor. I mean, usually if you look back, this is the most lackluster of sessions, and this one will kind of live up to that. I mean, they got the work of government done, but had higher and loftier aspirations than they were able to deliver on.
And one of the things I thought was interesting about that was Democrat-on-Democrat violence, and I mean in a gentle sense, intellectual sense, but for example, criminal justice reform, you had Steve Yeager with a very thoughtful two-year study to back him up, Justice Hardesty, who was accused of being too aggressive in what he was trying to accomplish. Saving the state would have been, if they had gotten the whole thing through, over $700 million over the biennium, and yet when it hit the new majority leader, it ran into the prosecutors.
Absolutely. I mean, that you watched the prosecutors, in a sense, throw sand on the gears. And that was when, well, they didn't prepare. And I'm just going, what are you talking about? They had a 2-year study.
2 years, right.
Four. So that was, I would say, particularly for progressives, not only that bill, but multiple other bills. It's like, this is our chance. We've got the Democrats. It's going to happen. And it didn't. But the Democrat on Democrat fighting, I think Fred and I, on this show at the start of the session, kind of said that's going to be the biggest problem. The Democrats have to coordinate themselves, and you've got this split with the progressives and, say, the more mainstream, and you had a leadership vacuum for at least a little bit early on, and Frierson was tested as well.
It just reminds me constantly of Harry Reid and his 60 votes to get Obamacare passed and the negotiating and jockeying that went on to get that done. You really need a super majority, not 2/3, but 70% to be guaranteed of getting your agenda passed.
Exactly. I agree with everything.
Which you'll never get, by the way.
Precisely, which is why we're sitting here at the end of the session with what we don't have. But the governor, although Democrat, is certainly more conservative than perhaps a majority of his colleagues in the legislature are. And we're seeing the microcosm of the national challenge for the Democratic Party going into the 2020 election kind of play out in our 2019 section. And under that, I think we're more respectful, and we at least at this point still haven't had major meltdown, but you did see the cracks in the party exposed. There is a real challenge, though, for the Democrats this time around, because 2020, they want to retain these majorities. They'd like to build these majorities, because you've got district redistricting coming in 2021. You have the possibility of a fifth congressional seat. There's a lot of high-stakes politics, and it carries for an entire decade. And so unlike the Republican mess of 2015, where I honestly felt they shot themselves in the foot and relied on their governor to veto a lot of the stuff they shouldn't have passed, this is a more sedate session, and I think the Democrats behave themselves because they know what's at stake.
That's perhaps a subject for another day, but the national elections, oh my goodness. It was interesting, you know, let's talk about the split in the Democrats. You have this younger group, they're very idealistic. You know, as they push their way into rural Nevada and rural Nevada issues, you can see that idealism faced with the realities of the fact that Las Vegas is going to go from 2 million people to 3 million people over the next decade or so, and there's no way to stop that. And yet, for example, with water, you see the brouhaha there.
I thought the water issue was really interesting, and I thought, no, the urban votes are going to be there, and this is going to lose, and it didn't.
I have a word for you, environmentalists.
I get that, but then you have this weird alliance of the environmentalists and the ranchers that, okay, you guys aren't, you're same hymnal, you're not even in the same church. So I think that may be one that evolves over time. I want to go back.
To what?
To the urban, particularly Clark County, ultimately running, completely running the show. For years, I always said that, well, Clark County is making Washoe a cow county, and it's just all Clark County. And I'm just going, no, Clark County is more diverse, and they've got to coordinate themselves. I think they're getting there, particularly with a Democratic majority. But you still have this progressive split in the party, and I don't know where that's going to go.
I think we benefit from the water wars that have been going on in Arizona and California. I think that influenced the conversation in the legislative session this spring, because the transfer of water didn't go well for either of those states, and they're dealing with collateral damage they never factored in. So I think it is a longer conversation, and let's face it, desalinization has stepped into the process and bumping water rights. That's a far more sophisticated and better long-term solution for Las Vegas. But I do agree that there is a the rise of the South is here. It will manifest itself, but these guys are getting better at it every session.
Yeah.
And you know, that's nothing but, I suppose, bad news for the rest of the state. They know the rest of us are there, but they see all of the priorities, all the issues from the seat of Clark County.
just to put a point of reference in here, Senator Reid, 30 years ago started working, plus 30 years ago, started working on the Truckee River operating agreement. When he left Congress, he had finally accomplished it after 30 years. Yes, desalination can well be a solution for the future, but now you have to have federal input, you have to have all the states along the Colorado River with input, and you have to have California and potentially Mexico agreeing to whatever to give up a certain amount of water to accept that desalination water, because you're not going to send desalination water from the coast all the way to Las Vegas. So what do you think, 100 years before that gets negotiated?
Yeah, I was, when Fred was
talking. Imperial Valley probably still won't agree.
And when Fred mentioned desalinization, I'm going, okay, that's a huge step. Probably not in my lifetime, but I'm old. and how are you going to get the water? If you're going to build a pipeline to get it to Nevada, which I doubt, then California is going to have to cede some water rights somewhere along the way. And I don't know where that's going to go. And so I was surprised how easily that water bill went down, as opposed to, you know, we're going to fight it to the end. It just, yeah, environmentalists and the rural interests, and I guess somebody did care about the rural interests.
Well, and the irony of this is, in my mind, that the Southern Nevada Water Authority already owns all the water that they want to send to Southern Nevada eventually, and we're talking 2040, which means it's well beyond the time frame of anybody in office at this point in time. And, you know, they're using it for ranching. They've been helping other ranchers use best practices as far as water goes. But it's their water. And so, you know, it's an open-ended discussion. And as I said earlier, you know, just in the current planning, 3.1 million people in that valley.
Crisis size tends to drive the conversation. And in fact, since it's long-term planning, you know, here in the north, we've bought water rights over in Fallon for years just to be able to park that water that would ultimately be able to be used by the urban users on this end of the Truckee River. And I think they've been doing the same strategy down there with the central rights. They're trying to retire some of those ranches so that the water rights are pretty much irrelevant. But it just wasn't the session for it. I don't think that they had the experienced political leadership that could carry it off. And they don't have a solid agreement in Clark County about how to move forward. This is more of a Clark County Commission thing and a water authority thing that has to be worked out before they come to the legislature.
All right, more issues when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
Finish. Dad? Are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they will.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, on the last day of the session as we're taping this, we're looking back at the session with Fred Locken, political science professor at Truckee Meadows Community College, and Eric Herzig, political science professor at UNR. So funding of K through 12, let's discuss this. And the idea of shunting tax increases to the counties to pay for the teachers' raises. How do you feel about that?
Well, I wasn't impressed, but this is Nevada, right? Band-aid on a broken leg. We still operate under a budget design from 1961. I mean, we were in for the entire operations of the state, so it looks ridiculous in K-12, but this is basically how we hobble together most of the state budget every 2 years, and we need to have that honest discussion about new revenue sources, but who wants to touch that one? An election year coming. But that said, they still at this point in time have not identified some of the money they need even to get the salaries going. Not all of it can be covered by that increase in sales tax. There's a real question of how popular that would be even in Washoe County, for instance, but it's a real issue.
I think as for those that are at least politically aware, Washoe County would almost be a non-starter based on what we've seen in decades previously when the school district asked for tax increases and the public looked at the way the district was being run. They shut it down year after year until the district finally did something by bringing in parents and interested parties to say, help us.
I would agree with where Fred was going with this. It's like, who wants to touch this? And you're just rolling down, in a sense, a tax increase, and it's like, you guys take it. And I don't see that necessarily working. And I thought it was really interesting that they were able to approve the education funding budget, but they don't have the money for the teachers' pay raises, which was, I would say, the signature promise that Sisolak made. And off camera, we were talking about collective bargaining as a possible bargaining chip. I thought the 3% pay raise for state workers would disappear and that would go to teachers. In fact, evidently it hasn't. And I'm trying to watch the ball or the shell, whatever. Where are they going to get this money for this signature promise?
On the other hand, you have Senator Settlemyer saying, hey, there's plenty of money available. You know, it's here, it's here, it's here, it's here, it's here.
Yeah, they say $142 million, I think, is laying out there, which is one of the reasons why they don't have to extend a certain tax that's sunsetting. But, you know, the devil can be in the details. I don't know if anyone's been able to do an analysis on the money that's allegedly out there. But this is going to be one of the real problems today as the session closes. And this could prompt a special session, because otherwise there will be hell to pay in Clark County. The associations feel that the 3% is infinitely inadequate. And so there is going to be more politics driven out of Clark County on this, regardless of what they do today.
All right, let's take a break and we'll come back to this topic after this.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features, and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, taping in this on the last day of session here with Eric Herzig and Fred Locken. I wanted you to pick up on what you were talking about with this being Governor Sisolak's first term and, you know, what he was aiming for in the state of the state and what has come through.
Well, Fred mentioned early on that a new governor often has problems in their first legislative session. We certainly saw that with Governor Sandoval, where he had a budget that fell apart. And so that part, again, it's a learning curve, whatever. You have all the new members going on. But Sisolak had promoted a pretty aggressive, with great big items out there, okay, whether it be criminal justice reform, mm-hmm. and you had teacher raises. That was his signature promise, as I keep saying. I mean, this was all going to happen. Campaign finance was all of a sudden brought up. For obvious reasons, though. And that bill hadn't even been written as the session gets going, which to me is always an indicator this isn't going to happen. They pass something that's really pretty weak, I guess, so they can say, we did it. So I just think all of this came into play. They had big reaches without the details behind them, and then you started to get, as we talked about earlier, this dissension within the ranks. And I think at the end of the day, it's not a totally lost session, but what did you say? They got the business of government done?
Yes, which is important.
Yes.
And you know, as I understand, as of this morning, over 300 bills have been signed by the governor. I mean, it's still, there's a lot of housekeeping kinds of things. Most legislatures don't do that well, but recent legislatures have, I think, starting with Debbie Smith, who said that has to be a priority. So the changes in the administrative code, that sort of thing, all seem to process very well this time. It's just the politics, which I think is at core, they come thinking Nevada works like Clark County. The politics, they try to replicate the politics in Carson City. And that's kind of what backfires. But I think our politics in Carson City are getting more like Clark County every 2 years.
And isn't one of the problems with the governor's first session the fact that he inherits, 90%+ of the previous governor's budget in terms of it being laid out and has very little room to play in the time between getting elected as a new governor and the first session? And then by the time you get through the first session, you're looking at the next election cycle for your people and your own election cycle 2 years after that. So don't the big changes, you know, are to be expected in, you know, the second term?
Precisely. Much less this is a guy who felt very comfortable with Sandoval's budget. He's a fiscal conservative, after all, and he used his state of the state to praise many of Sandoval's initiatives.
He said third term of the Sandoval government.
Yeah.
Which I thought was an extraordinary thing to say.
Play well with progressives. But that's okay.
Your point on the inherited budget, you certainly saw that thing. I talked about Sandoval's first session. When you look at Jim Gibbons' first session, I mean, there weren't any big ideas. I think conservatives were upset that he spent all the money that was there. Yeah, that's the budget he got, and he painted within the lines. And I think the new governor is at a disadvantage coming in.
It's fascinating to watch this. Rural Nevada schools very concerned about what's going on. That they are going to end up being the big losers out of this session.
Possibly. And I still think that the rurals, and actually the Republicans who were headed by two rural leaders, both from Douglas County, which is kind of odd, I think they did a pretty good job holding their own. Yes, they are at, they would say threat with, say, the funding formula, but no, the funding formula, as I understand it, went up for everybody. It's per pupil. And then the add-ons, they may have a harder time with.
Also, jumping to another subject here, we've got about a minute and a half left. The higher ed system seemed like it didn't make out so good beyond raises, but I mean, you know, one got the stick, one got the shaft.
Well, the legislature has not been happy with the system. This is a long-term issue, and we had the, you know, proposal move forward to, you know, get a thing on the ballot that might take the system out of the state constitution. This is a major challenge time for higher ed, and they don't have the cadre of legislative support that they historically have had.
I would agree. Higher education got next to nothing. Higher education generally has done better with a more progressive Republican, say a Kenny Gwynn or Bill Raggio. Those are in short supply, and we generally don't do as well with a Democrat-dominated, particularly Clark County Democrat-dominated body, because they're working more with K through 12.
And they did well 2 years ago. This was supposed to be focused on K-12 this time.
All right, so bottom line, was this environmentalists and progressives basically fighting business at this session?
Yes, and it didn't become open warfare, at least not yet. but there was that tension throughout. You saw the rollback on things that had been done in 2015. That was clearly a slap back at business.
Last 10 seconds.
I would agree with what you just said.
That's what we have to let you. Left me 5 extra seconds. Thank you both very much, and we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Kenny, Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Don't forget, another way of watching Nevada Newsmakers is to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nevada Newsmakers, on YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast.